We're going to be continuing our series on new beginnings, new seasons. This is the second part. We've got two more yet to come if the Lord says the same. And this morning I want to kind of start off, Alan, you don't have this on the screen, just a brief recap of how we started last week's message. We started off with Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we went to the book of John later in the message, John chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, and the same exact words, in the beginning. It starts off exactly the same way as the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Emmanuel, God with us. And so we kind of talked about that. And then a verse, again, you don't have this one, Alan, but Genesis 8, verse 22. I really like this, and it fits with the theme of what we're talking about, new beginnings, new seasons. And the word says this, as long as the earth endures, I like that, as long as the earth endures, there's going to be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. Those things will never cease, God tells us. Those are promises from God. So He's giving us the seasons there. Seed time is spring, harvest is fall, cold, of course, is winter, heat is summer. But then He specifically says, summer and winter, day and night, all those things, all those seasons, all those times, they're never going to cease as long as the earth endures. God's promise to you and I. It was interesting, several times in recent weeks, as you look at the weather, and they give you the record high and the record low for that day. If you see that on the weathercast, and it's so many times the coldest will be years ago. So many times the hottest will be years ago. One record that was broken this past week was back to 1907. So was that global warming back then as well? I wonder. You know, but this weather is cyclical, always has been, always will be. There will always be cold, always be heat. There'll always be the seasons that we can enjoy. God provides all the seasons of life, and there's lessons in every season. When we're young, when we're a little older, all the way up till we're ancient, you know, whatever that is. But, you know, as we go through the seasons of life, God is there with us. He's there for us. And the Holy Spirit is within us. And so the new beginnings and the new seasons that God has for us, this is what we want to talk about. Now, I want you to follow in your Bibles to start off this morning. Follow with me. It won't be on the screen. Proverbs chapter 8. Excuse me, I'm skipping one. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Just this one is on the screen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. I'm about to get ahead of myself here. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and we're going to pick up at verse number 11. Of course, the earlier part we talked about last week, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. But in verse 11, let's pick up there of chapter 3, and it says this, He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. Don't you like that? There's a time, there's a season when things are just beautiful. There's a beauty in the springtime. Have you noticed all the green leaves, all the new leafage and foliage on all the trees right now? It's beautiful, springtime. And then we go into the heat of summer, and yet we enjoy that season because we try to relax a little more, hopefully, try to take a little time off, try to unplug a little bit, get out of some of the routines of life by taking a vacation or whatever. And then the fall, we don't get a whole lot of color change in Florida, but we do get it kind of later in the year than some folks up north. But the foliage is beautiful, and to be able to see that in the mountains of North Georgia or the Carolinas or Tennessee or even up in New England, to see the foliage, the changing of the colors of the leaves. And then even winter, even in a winter season, cold and maybe it's cloudy, and, you know, up north especially, it gets dark early up there, you know, 4:30, it's getting dark in Boston in the wintertime, and so people want to leave work a little earlier, get home, and all that stuff. But even in those times, the beauty of the snow You know, the beauty of fresh fallen snow on the trees and all over, you know, that you see around you up there and every place where there is snow. It's a beautiful time. You get tired of it after a while in those cold weather states, months of the season of winter, just like we get tired of months of the heat of summer. And the South, the dog days of August, September, that's the heat seems to continue to linger on. And we understand all that. But he says that that he's given, made everything beautiful in its time. And then he says he's also set eternity in the hearts, in the minds of men. He set eternity. There's something about us that we know there's something beyond this life. You go back to the ancient civilizations, and they worship something. It's like there was this innate desire, something, to worship something or somebody. Now, some made mistakes by building idols and erecting monuments or whatever to worship those things. But there's this desire in us to worship, to praise, to lift someone or something up. And so God has set eternity in our minds, in the minds of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. From beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better, he writes, for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil, all of his work. This is the gift of God. I always counsel young people, when you're trying to pick out what you want to pursue in life, your vocation, make sure it's something that, first of all, you long to do. It's just a passion in you that you want to do this, that you just can't wait to wake up Monday morning and go do it. You know, if you do that, you know, if you love what you're doing, what's the saying? You're not going to work a day of your life if you love what you're doing. It's not work. It's a pleasure. You can't wait to get up and go do it. And so those are things. Look, work towards your passions. Work toward what you're good at. God has gifted you in areas. What are those areas? And pursue those things. Pursue those things. Don't worry about how much money are you going to make doing that. I know we have to be concerned about money, but money's not everything, believe me. Money is not everything. So we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in that. But he says, I want you to be happy. I want you to do good while you're alive. I want you to eat and drink and find satisfaction, find joy in your work, in your labor. That is a gift of God to us. And then verse 14, I know that everything God does will endure forever. God's work done in God's way is going to endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it this way so that men will revere him, so that men will praise him, worship him, stand in awe of him. That's why God has done all these things and provided the beginnings of our lives and the seasons of our lives so that we might be blessed. Now, again, in your Bible, let's back up a little bit to the book of Proverbs, and let's go to chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter 8, follow with me. We're going to pick up at verse number 17. Proverbs 8, verse 17. This chapter is all about wisdom. It's about wisdom's call to us to pursue wisdom, to gain wisdom above everything else. Get wisdom, get wisdom. And so we pick up at verse number 17, and it's like wisdom speaking. I love those who love me, and those who seek me, seek wisdom, find me. With me, with wisdom, are riches and honor, enduring wealth. Boy, I love that, enduring wealth. So many times people chase things that may be fads for the moment. And that fad maybe doesn't work out and you get burned. But with wisdom, as we do things with wisdom, riches and honor come. Enduring wealth comes. It remains. And prosperity. And in verse 19, my fruit, the fruit of wisdom, is better than fine gold. What I yield, what comes from wisdom, surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness. Wisdom will lead us in paths of righteousness, along paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. I love that. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning. This portion right here that we're just getting into, I want you to look from the rest of the message for that phrase, from the beginning. We're talking about new beginnings. We're talking about new seasons. And this phrase will be prominent in the message today, from the beginning. Wisdom says, I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before, underline that word, before the world began, God produced wisdom. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he, God, made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when God set the heavens in place. I love that. I love the word set. God set it. It's firmly established, one of the scriptures says. The world is firmly established by God. And then he says, not only is it set and set, but the heavens, plural. You know, again, Paul says, I know a man that went to the third heaven. So we know there's at least three levels. I was there, wisdom says, when God set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above. And then look at this. And he fixed securely. I love that. Fixed securely the fountains of the deep. Now, we know that when the earth was judged by water the first time, we know that God broke up the fountains of the deep, amen, so that the earth would flood and could flood. It wasn't just 40 days of rain that would flood the earth to that degree. No, God broke up the fountains of the deep, and that's why it flooded so quickly. And then when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, wisdom was there. And when he marked out the foundations of the earth, there are four corners of the earth in one scripture that tells us. Four corners. And people thought, well, that's why they thought the earth was square years and years ago, is because of the four corners of the earth. But there are four magnetic fields, four magnetic corners of the earth that keeps us on our exact tilt of the axis of the earth. God fixed that. God fixed that securely for us. Then, verse 30, then I was the craftsman, wisdom says, the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in the whole world, and delighting in mankind. We've talked about this theme of creation, the beginning, in the beginning, and in the seasons of life. God did all of this stuff by his wisdom and by his power. Again, turn with me in your Bibles to chapter 40. We're going to get to the screen in just a few minutes. But these scriptures are close together, and I think we need the exercise in the Word. Chapter 40 of Isaiah. We're going to pick up at verse number 21. He asked the question, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it been not told you from the beginning? That phrase again, from the beginning of creation, the beginning of time. Has it not been told you? Have you not understood since the earth was founded that God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth and its people are like grasshoppers? He stretches out the heavens, plural again, like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. God is building us a place in heaven. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. Putin may think he's something pretty tough and hot right now, but one day he'll be reduced to nothing. Other world leaders have come and gone, empires risen and fallen at God's command. So he brings princes to naught, reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, that's springtime, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Those kingdoms, those rulers, all of those dynasties, whatever, they've been blown away like a whirlwind. Like chaff. Verse 25, he asked another question. To whom will you compare me? God asks. Who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens, plural again. who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. How many billions of stars do we have in the galaxies that we know about? How many? They're just innumerable. And yet God calls them each by name. He knows your name. He knows my name. He knows exactly where we are. Amen? We don't have to worry about it. He says, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Another question, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Don't you know, haven't you heard, the Lord is the everlasting God. Underline that word, everlasting. The God we serve is an everlasting God. His kingdom will never end. His rule, his reign that we sang about this morning will never end. It will never stop. He is the everlasting God, the creator, capital C, of the ends of the earth. He, our God, will not ever grow tired or weary. And his understanding, his wisdom, no one can fathom. The word says, my ways are so far above your ways. My thoughts so far above your thoughts. Amen? And then he gives strength to the weary. There's a song out right now, Weary Traveler, Restless Soul. Amen? Have you heard that on the Z? And it says that our God, though we might grow tired and we might be weary, the Bible says he will never grow tired or weary. In his understanding, we can't fathom. He gives strength to the weary. Are you weary this morning? God will give you strength. How do we get it? He's going to tell us in just a moment. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths, even those in the early seasons of life, young people will stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, will renew their strength. You want to renew your strength? If you're weary, if you're tired, we have to wait upon the Lord. Put our hope in the Lord. Put our faith and trust in him. But as we wait upon him, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I had this yesterday. It wasn't eagles circling the church yesterday, but when I got out of my car to come into the church office yesterday, there were three beautiful hawks just circling above the church and just flying there. Their wings spread out. They weren't having to flap because of the breeze. They were just soaring. No effort, no work, just soaring. And they were squawking at each other. I don't know what they were saying, but they were just having a lot of fun. And I thought about this. Those who wait upon the Lord, we not only renew our strength, but we'll soar like that. We can live effortless in the presence of God. Be still and know that I am God. The battle is not yours, the battle's mine. Simply stand still and see the salvation, the deliverance that the Lord will give you today. We don't have to work at it. God is the one that fights the battles for us. He's with us, for us, in us, always for us, never against us. They run and they don't grow weary. They walk and they're not faint. Praise God. These are things that God promises us. Let's go into chapter 41. It's the subtitle there in the NIV is the helper of Israel. God is our helper. The Holy Spirit is our paraclete. He's our helper. And it says this, God says, be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. One day there's going to be a great white throne judgment at the end of time when God separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep will enter into heaven. The goats will be cast aside into the lake of fire. And so there's going to be a place of judgment to come. Verse 2, who has stirred up one from the east? Remember this phrase. God is calling someone from the east. We're going to talk about it a little bit later when we get to that second reference about this. Who has stirred up one from the east, calling him in righteousness to his service? God hands nations over to him and subdues kings before him. He turns them to dust with his sword, to windblown chaff, which we just read about earlier, with his bow. Remember, the rulers of the world are brought to naught. They're blown away like windblown chaff. He says it again here. He turns them to dust with his sword, to windblown chaff with his bow. He pursues them, and he moves on unscathed. Nobody touches this person that he's speaking of. And, of course, it's a messianic prophecy of Christ. That's the one that he turns the nations over to. And he blows them away with his bow. And he comes forth unscathed by a path his feet have not traveled before. Who has done this and carried it through, calling forth the generations from the beginning? That phrase again. From the beginning of time, Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, that was slain before the foundation of the earth, before the beginning of time. I, the Lord, he answers his own question. I, the Lord, with the first of them and with the last, I am he. In Revelation 22:13, Jesus tells us, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's who we're talking about here. The beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega. Jesus is the one that God will turn the nations over to. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 46. And we're going to pick up at verse number 9, and we find this. I love this portion. He says, remember the former things, those of long ago. Remember the former things. You know, in biblical times, if they're in the Old Testament, they could go back to when Moses led them out of Egypt, you know. If you're in the New Testament, they could go back to all those stories of David and Goliath. They could go back to the scriptures and think about the prophetic words that were given by Isaiah, by Jeremiah, by the minor prophets, Malachi, some of the others. And they could go back in that kind of time and reference and seasons of their lives. You and I can do the same. If we've been raised in church, we can go back and remember those former things. Those from way back when we were kids in Sunday school, the stories we were told, the things we learned about God. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I love it. I am God, and there's none like me. I make known the end from what? From the beginning. There's that again. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. God says that he will reveal to you and me what is yet to come by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will show us what is yet to come, and he'll prepare us for it so we're not caught off guard. Amen? So we need to be wise in that in these last days. And then he says, I say my purpose will stand. I know that the plans of Putin and others are going to be thwarted. The plans of the devil himself will be thwarted. But the plans of our God will stand firm and sure forever. They will never change. Nothing will knock off the plans that God has set up for us. My purpose will stand, he tells us. And I will do all that I please, God says. And then here's the other reference. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. From a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. This person that's coming from the east, if you know, the city gate of Jerusalem today, the eastern gate, is blocked off. It's just stones, whatever. They've sealed it off. No one can come in or out the eastern gate. They're waiting for Messiah to come, the one from the east, coming from the east into the city of Jerusalem. This is all messianic stuff that God is speaking to us. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. What we have in this book is going to come to pass. All the other stuff is going to fall by the wayside, but what God has written to us in this book, you can put your stake your life on it. Daniel writes in chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, he writes this, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. We've talked about praise this morning. We've sung about praise. Praise is due him. So praise be to the name of our God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He, our God, changes what? times and seasons. Look at this. He sets up kings and deposes them. We've been talking about that. He gives wisdom to the wise. We've talked about this wisdom from Proverbs chapter 8. God gives us that wisdom for the wise and knowledge to the discerning. God gives us wisdom. God gives us discernment through the power of the Holy Spirit and from His Word. God, verse 22, reveals deep and hidden things. Deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. Our God is a God who dwells in the deep darkness, the Bible says. Even though He is light, God is light, yet He dwells in the deep darkness. He knows what lies in darkness, but light dwells with Him. I love it. Now let's go to way back in the Old Testament to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter number 26. Let's go there for just a moment. And we're going to pick up at verse number 3. Leviticus chapter 26, if I can turn the page here. And we're going to pick up at verse number 3. This is a little sidebar. And He says this, God speaking to us, "If you follow My decrees and are careful to obey My commands, I will send you rain in" what? "Its season." There are seasons when a farmer needs rain, and there's a portion of a season where a farmer doesn't want rain because it would destroy the crop, potentially. But the other seasons, the former rain, the latter rain, the spring rain, and near the harvest, but not at harvest, you don't want to ruin the hay in the field or the wheat in the field by some rainstorm or hailstorm. But He says, "I'll send you rain if you obey Me. I'll send you rain in the proper season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees of the field will yield their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want, and you'll live in safety in your land." I love these phrases here about farming. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest. The grape harvest will continue until planting. That's telling me that God is providing food year-round. It never stops. If you go to Israel today, and this has been for many years, in the same field, you'll see on one end they're reaping a harvest, and on the opposite end of the same field, they're planting a new crop. And they get 2-3 crops a year from the same field. It's amazing what God has done. And so this has come to pass already. You'll eat all the food you want, and you're going to live in safety in your land. I love this. "I will grant," God, our God, "will grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one is going to make you afraid." Some people are struggling right now, depression, all kinds of stuff, anxiety, stress, and robbing people of sleep. You pillow your head and your mind won't shut off. The what ifs just continue to flow, you know? And people are struggling with that right now. But He says, "I'm going to grant peace one day in the land. And you will lie down and no one's going to make you afraid." But God will give us that peace even now, knowing Him and serving Him. He says that it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved peace. So many scriptures in the Word that tell us that God wants us to get proper rest, and He'll give us that sleep. And so it's just an important aspect that God gives us there. Let's skip down to verse 9, Leviticus 26, verse 9. God says, "Not only will I do those things, but I will look on you with favor." Underline that word favor. It's something I pray for all the time, for God to bless me and Kathy, all of you, our families, our church family, our this ministry, New Life Worship Center, the Crenshaw School, Country House, our friends there. We pray for God's favor to rest upon people. God's favor, God's blessing. "I will look on you with favor, and I'll make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep," I love that word keep, "I will keep My covenant with you." There's all kinds of covenants in Scripture. The covenant with Abraham, the covenant with Noah, covenant with Jacob, Isaac, all the different covenants that God has made. We have a new covenant. We're living under a new covenant, and that is forgiveness of sin through the precious blood of Jesus. It's a blood covenant. There was a blood covenant in the Old Testament, animal sacrifice, but in the New Testament, the New Covenant, the blood of Jesus is the sacrifice. And that covenant is still in effect today. I'll keep my covenant with you. This is great. Verse 10, you will still be eating last year's harvest when you're going to have to move it out to make room for the new. That's awesome. I love that. We're going to have such a blessing, such an abundance, if we simply live for God, obey Him to the best of our ability, and of course, He'll make up the difference in our lives. We do our best. We do what we can. God will do what we can't. We move in the natural. God will move in the supernatural. And He says, supernaturally, you're still going to be eating last year's harvest when you're going to have to move it out to make room for the new. I'm going to give you a fresh one. The old might be a little stale by now, but I'm going to give you a new one. Move out the old, and let's bring in the new. A new season, a new beginning. And God does that constantly in our lives. We go through new beginnings, we come to some ends, and we have new seasons where fruitfulness will once again abound. I love that. I love that. Ezekiel 34, 26 tells us this, I will send down showers. When? In season, there will be showers of blessing. God said, I'm going to give you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, and you'll be blessed because of it. Psalm 3, verses 1 through 3 adds this, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight, I like that word delight, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you delight? Is it a delight for you to read the Bible? Is it a delight for you to get alone in your prayer closet with the Lord and just enjoy His presence? Is that a delight for you? Or is that something you feel like, oh, I got to do that? No. Yeah, we need it, but do you want it? Do you enjoy it? God wants us to enjoy it. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And on that law, on His law, we meditate day and night. Doesn't mean we have to read it day and night. You can't read the Bible 24/7. You can't pray 24/7. You can't go to church 24/7. God understands all that. But we just are mindful, you know. Paul says, pray continuously, just in your thoughts, you know, just to breathe up a prayer whenever it hits you. Or, you know, praise God whenever it hits you or whatever. You know, just do it when you do it. It's a delight to do these things. And then verse 3 says, the righteous person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit. I like that word yields. We've gone over that already in Leviticus. It yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever this righteous person does prospers. Like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, the leaves don't wither, and whatever he does prospers. Now go to your Bible again. Alan, you don't have this one. I threw this in this morning. Jeremiah, let's go there. Jeremiah chapter 17. It's just a great companion chapter to what we just read about in Psalm chapter 1. So Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, two quick verses. And he says this, blessed is the man, the person, who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. And look at this. He will be like what? A tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. We're in some heat right now on this planet. We've been in the heat of COVID. Now we're in the heat of a Russian invasion of Ukraine. And where is that going to stop? Is World War III going to break out? What's going on? What's going to happen to Europe? What's going to happen to us? What if that was happening to us today? What would we be doing if someone's invading our country today? What if nuclear war breaks out? All these different things. But he says here that those of us that know the Lord and are serving Him, we're like a tree planted firmly by the water. Our roots are down because we're nourished by the stream of God. The Spirit of God is within us. And so we don't fear when heat comes. Our leaves are always green. We have no worries, even in a year of drought, even when things are dry and it looks bad. And as the prophet said, though the fields don't yield their fruit, the stalls are empty, there's no joy in the land, there's blah, 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 yet I'm going to rejoice in the Lord my God. We will not fear when he comes. We're always going to be green, alive, fresh, new. We have no worries in tough times, and we never fail to bear fruit. The Bible says, even to our old age and our gray hairs, he says, you're going to be fruitful. You're still going to bear fruit, even in your old age. That's good news to some of us as we age here. You know, I know we're not, none of us are old, but we see it down the road. But anyway, God says, you're going to still bear fruit. I'm not done with you. Amen? As long as there's breath and life in us, God's not finished with us, and we know that. Job 8, verse 7 encourages us with this. Your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous will your future be. I love that. That's a great verse to claim. Your beginnings will seem so humble compared to what your future is going to be, how prosperous your future will be. And again with David, we're confident that we're going to see the goodness of the Lord now in the land of the living, and then who knows the things that God has prepared for those of us that love him in heaven. What a great time. I want to close today with a very unusual portion of Scripture. It's a prophetic word, and of all books, it's found in the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs, whatever your Bible says. Either one is correct. But chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. I shared with you last week that I feel like we're still in, even though spring has sprung and we're here in spring season in the natural, I feel like in the spiritual realm and in our place of prophecy, we're still in winter. I feel like we're still in a winter season. We haven't seen this life coming forth. But here's a prophetic word of what is to come when Jesus comes. See, the winter is past. Well, we know it hasn't yet. That's why it's a prophetic word. The winter is past. It's coming. The rains are over and gone. The storm clouds, the storms, the trials, the troubles, the tribulations. Not the good rains that grow crops, but the bad stuff, the storms that come against us, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the thunderstorms that cause damage. He says those negative things, one day that's all going to stop. Those things are over and gone. And then, verse 12, flowers appear on the earth. God's blessing, God's goodness, God's abundance begins to flow all over this planet. A prophetic word. It's not happening yet. It won't for a little while. Not till Jesus comes. Flowers appear on the earth. The season, I love that, the season of singing. The season of singing has come. There's going to be a time when Jesus comes that we're all going to sing his praises. There'll be singing in the land. There'll be rejoicing. There'll be worship all over the planet. The cooing of doves. Doves are always a symbol of God's peace. Amen. There's coming a time when there'll be peace all over this planet. Putin's not going to bring it. Biden's not going to bring it. Netanyahu, if he comes back, can't bring it. Only one person is going to bring peace to this planet. The Antichrist can't do it. He'll do it for a season. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation, there'll be peace. There'll be a covenant between Antichrist and Israel. There'll be one world government, one world currency, one world religion, all these different things. There'll be peace for 3.5 years. Then comes the wrath of God, the tribulation. But the cooing of doves one day will come. There'll be peace on the planet, but only because of the Prince of Peace. The cooing of doves will be heard in our land. No more weapons, no more war, no more death, no more crying. The old things are passed away, and God says, I'm going to make everything new. A new beginning, new heavens, new earth, a new season will come. But it's out there. We don't know how far, but we sense it's coming. It's close. It's close. And so we need to lock in prayer, lock in to the Word, lock in to his house, come together like this and get encouragement from one another, get encouragement from the Word, and let God know that no No matter what comes or goes, we're going to serve him. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I believe that God's going to find faith in his people, in his church, in the bride of Christ. He said, I'm coming back for a glorious church, one without spot and without wrinkle, a blameless church. That's how we will appear in God's eyes because of Jesus.